For those of you who are following up our message week after week, and for those that are able to connect with us online, we are having this series of messages focusing on our church new mission statement. As you can see right here on the front, what is our mission statement, church? Can we read that again? To make disciples of Jesus Christ and impact the community through faith in action. So for many weeks, we focus on the first section of that mission statement, to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We learn from the scripture, why discipleship? Who are the disciples, and how do we make disciples? And then for the last couple of weeks, we're focusing now on the second part of that series, which is the faith in action component. And there's no better place to go than to go to the book of James. So this morning, we're going to talk about the topic of faith and works. That I've said before, cannot be contained in one sermon alone. So today, we're going to study about the context of James chapter 2. We will deal with the questions, what kind of faith saves? And why is faith without works is dead? Next week, we're going to talk about a living faith and why it's important. And what are the examples of living faith? Both messages, both today and next Sunday, we will hopefully discuss the relationship between faith and good works and how they are not in contradiction, but rather complementing together. So let's pray. Dear God, we are grateful for bringing us in such a beautiful day as today. Help us as we dive into your word, that we hear what you say to us. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, be truly acceptable in your sight. You as a rock and a redeemer. Amen. Let me begin this message by saying a very, very important biblical truth. Salvation comes through faith in Christ. The Bible says very clearly, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift that comes from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. That word came from Paul's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. And if we go on Galatians, the Bible further says, yet we know that a person is justified by the works, not by the works of law, but through faith. But through the faith of Jesus Christ. In other words, the Bible teaches us that salvation is not by works. Rather, it is only by grace through faith in Christ. And it is a gift from God. Having said that, we come now to the passage in James chapter 2 that on the first glance seems to be exactly the opposite. We all know that the Bible is clear that we are justified by faith alone. But if you look on verse 24, I invite us all to go back again to verse 24, because that's kind of very controversial text. What did verse 24 says there? I'm going to repeat this again. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. So when you see this passage, I'm sure at the first glance, it may cause some confusion. In fact, you may feel sort of kind of asking yourselves, why is it that Galatians or Ephesians says this, and then James says the other thing? In fact, you are not alone in this confusion and controversy, because over the years, there's been some attempt to remove that particular passage from the scripture itself. In fact, Martin Luther, I'm sure many of you know Martin Luther, the great Methodist or the great Protestant reformer who was against a lot of the teachings of the Roman Catholic at that time, he was so insistent on the justification by faith alone in Christ that he had trouble, on this particular text, he had trouble reconciling this truth with the teachings of James. And that's the reason why we need to come in here and to really understand what exactly James is coming from. Who wrote the book? To whom this book was written? And why was this book written at all? As the saying goes, in the understanding of the Bible, context matters. Context is very important. That's why we first need to learn carefully to study the context of James. And when we do that, we will realize that there's really no problem reconciling James with the writings of Paul and the life of Jesus. So let's go now. We first need to understand about the writer of the book. It was James himself who wrote the book, but exactly who he was. Who was he? Well, there's several different James in the New Testament, but almost everyone agrees that this kind of James that wrote this book was the half-brother of Jesus himself. But who really was he? For all we know, during Christ's ministry on earth, James doubted at first that Jesus was the Messiah. But after Jesus died and rose from the dead, he finally became, or he realized that he could deny that fact that he was the same God who came down and became a resurrected Christ. And so he became a staunch follower of Jesus. And he soon became one of the elders in the rapidly growing Jerusalem church. And when we come to Acts chapter 15, he actually presided the Jerusalem Council, which was a really a big, big thing during his time. He wrote this book to the 12 tribes of Israel that scattered abroad, according to verse 1 of James. And you can go to the rest of the book and you will discover quite clearly that he was really writing this book to the Jewish believers. It's not a surprise that he quoted several Old Testament texts because of that. And why do you think? I think it's very important for us to understand what are the struggles and the issues that the Jewish believers are facing at the time. Because that gives us a whole understanding about James chapter 2. Particularly this whole thing about faith and good works. Jesus' believers were struggling how to live one another in this kind of new church. They're really very infant, very young in their walk with God. So it was all new for them. They had trouble getting along to one another. They had trouble knowing how much of the Old Testament law they still have to keep and what they're supposed to get rid of. And so they are really trying to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus at the time. In fact, they're also having trouble with facing persecutions, especially when it came from other Jews who used to be their friends, and now they are foes because of their Christian beliefs. So these are some of the questions that they're asking about how to live in a Christian way of life. So Jesus, or James, is giving them this crash course on discipleship. We call it Christianity 101. Or basic of Christianity. It's very practical, down-to-earth stuff. And one of the questions that the Jewish believers are asking during that time, what about works? Where do I place my work in the whole scheme of my walk with God? I'm sure that we have asked these questions also. Every new Christian I have ever talked to who has clearly understood the justification by faith alone in Christ has asked, do I have to do anything, Pastor, now that I have followed Jesus? Do I have just to believe in Christ and that's all I need to do? For James, faith is not enough. Because a true saving faith in Jesus cannot exist without an expression. While you and I are justified by faith alone in Christ, our faith does not exist in and of itself. It must find an expression externally, outwardly. Faith will not exist alone without works, according to James. In other words, a saving faith for James must always be accompanied by good works. Listen again to what James here says in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Surely that faith cannot save. Can it? Well, let's stop there for a while and let that word digest for a second. I think what James is stating here is that kind of faith that saved, or he's asking question to Jewish believers, what kind of faith do you have? For if that kind of faith that's not accompanied with good works, then you probably be in trouble right now. You must examine your faith at all. In other words, James here does not contradict what Paul is saying, that we are saved by grace through faith and not by works. But rather, he's very carefully describing here what saving faith is all about. For James, saving faith must always be accompanied by works. In other words, faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is not alone. Are you with me? Faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is not alone. It has to have good works in it. Indeed, it was very evident in the life of Jesus, in the life of the disciples that were with him when they walk on earth. And certainly, it's in the lives of those saints of the church that came after that. They modeled, they embodied, they spoke, they prophetically lived out their faith into the world. See, for James, without works, faith is never seen. Faith must find expression in our words, in our behaviors, in our attitudes, in our actions, in the way we deal with our neighbors. Faith must be dynamic. It must be shown. And they know we are Christians by our love. That's a beautiful hymn that captures what it means to have this faith expressed. It must be expressed in a very real way. Let me elaborate this more a little deeper. We come every Sunday at church, and we claim ourselves to be Christians. But then for the rest of the week, what James is asking here in this text, are we acting more of a Christian, or are we acting more of the world? We claim we have faith and we believe in Jesus, but our action says otherwise. Our behaviors, the way we relate and the way we speak, the way we deal with our neighbors are in no way showing what a Christian should be. The Bible says, and according to James, that's not saving faith at all. It must have been a different kind of faith. He's telling us today, your action reveal your faith or your lack of faith in Christ. What James is telling us here and what the Bible is telling us here this morning, church, you are not saved because of what you do. However, what you do reveals your faith or your lack of faith in Jesus. So, let me ask this to us. When was the last time we examined and we really think about that? That what we do really reveals about our faith. Because sometimes there's always a tendency for us to dichotomize our faith and our works. We wear a different kind of life on Sunday morning, and then when we go for the rest of the week, we are totally different from what we should be the whole week. James asked this question, what good is faith if you have faith and do nothing? He answered this question on verse 17. Faith without action is, what did he say there? Dead. What James is trying to say to us here, a saving faith without action is useless. And it accomplishes nothing. And let me be clear on this. James here is not speaking of faith with regards to salvation. James here is not addressing a person's belief regarding God or Jesus. What he's telling us here is that even demons believe and know God, and the demons shudder. What shudder means? Trembled, right? Rather here, James is not commanding the Jewish believers to do good works instead of placing faith in Christ, or even in addition to placing faith in Christ. What James is saying here is that because of your saving faith in Christ, then your faith is shown through your actions. Are you with me, church? That means your actions become a response or a result to your growing in Christ, to your deepening your relationship with Christ. Your saving faith in Christ will produce an action born out of your heart for God, and they are displayed in your works, in your love, in your mercy, and your compassion to your neighbors and to the community. A faith that does not lead to works is dead. In fact, verse 26 says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. And here James unpacks what a dead faith looks like. Listen again on verses 15 to 16 as we wrap up this message. If a brother or sister is naked and lacks the daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily need, what is good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. What James is trying to say to us is that you have seen this person in front of you, and they have needs, they have concerns, you know them well, but offers nothing except some few religious words. And if you fail in this very most basic, simple good works toward the brother and sister in need, and demonstrate that one does not have a living faith, then that must have been a dead faith at all. The challenge for us, friends, this morning is to once again re-examine our faith. What kind of faith do we have? Is it really a faith that saves? A faith that is alive and exploding into realities that we cannot contain it, but to express it in deeds and in actions, in our behaviors, with great joy and love and compassion. I hope and I pray that our faith does not lead, or our faith that does not lead to works, is dead. And I pray that we will be able to embrace a saving faith, a living faith, that truly put our faith into action. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen.